Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless our time here this morning? Thank you for the subject that we're looking at, which is so key to the whole matter of reaching people, both with the gospel and with the need for personal victory. Lord, would you help us really understand these truths now in Jesus' name? Amen. Now, one of the things that we have to overcome right off the bat in the matter of praying for people, especially that we've prayed for a long time, is unbelief. After he says, folks, it isn't a matter of convincing God to save someone. He's not willing that any should perish. It's praying through so that the open door is there for them to be saved. And that is a totally different perspective. God is ready. He's already said that. And much of it is spiritual warfare. So this is the heart of this little book, as we talked about. You can pray effectively for the lost. We talked about some of the key things to pray about the last time, the specific requests. And now we're going to look at this matter of spiritual warfare, because this is really the crux of the matter. And I know I cannot cover this in one session. So I want to cover the first half and then review and come back again. Because if you can get this, you will have victory in praying for the lost and praying for other people, Christians that you're burdened for. So this is, there's some concepts here that I'm going to just take some time to make sure that we get. Now, Satan was defeated at the cross, but he still has jurisdiction in the of the remaining world that is not saved. In other words, when Adam sinned, the dominion that God gave him over the world, Satan usurped. And so Satan is the god of this world. We're going to look at that, the prince of the power of the air. And he controls the unsaved, unregenerate world. Now, I'm sure in these last few months you have a lot of questions about how can people think and do what they're doing? Have you? You haven't had that thought, have you? Around the world, you know, you look at what China is doing to Christians. You look at some of the just the moral judicial rulings that are made around the world, and you say, how can that be? Well, it's not hard to figure out. Satan is wicked. He is a murderer. He wants to destroy people. That's why you find irrational thinking all the time. By the way, did you notice this last week? Evolution is rather irrational. I mean, you have to go over loads of actual science to believe in evolution. Now, you have to, by faith, believe in creation too, but it makes a whole lot more sense to believe that an intelligent creator created an intelligent universe. I mean, that sort of follows. In fact, a lot of scientists, by the way, are coming to that position, not as Christians, but they have to believe there's a designer. And they're pretty honest about it. And the Darwinian evolutionary model has been debunked now for about 40, 50 years, but it's still being taught in our public school classrooms as truth. It's all in all of our museums. It's really a sad thing. You say, how can that be? Satan. So you got to realize, folks, we don't live in a neutral world. We are in a clear spiritual warfare, but clashing worldviews as we've been talking about. Ephesians 2:2, I alluded to that. Says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There are four major words used for power in the New Testament. One of those, and they're all used for what God does for us. Well, here's one of those words, but this is what Satan does to the world. And that is the word that means energy. In fact, it's actually a transliteration of the Greek word, energeo, energized by the spirit of the devil. And so Satan is actually, he is working on using his energy on the lost to keep them from being saved. In other words, it's not a passive situation. Oh, that person just didn't get it. No, that person has been duped. You were duped. I was duped. And I was saved as a kid, so I didn't have as long a time to be duped, but I would have been, just like anybody else. Aren't you glad you're saved if you are saved here this morning? That's a miracle, folks. Satan has all kinds of devices, all kinds of ways to fool us. He's working all the time. So people you love, your family members, people that you work with, your neighbors, you've got to understand this is not a quiet, passive, trying to sell somebody on Christianity. You are in a mortal battle for their soul, and Satan is doing everything he can. He uses the world. You notice it's interesting in that passage there, according to the course of this world. And so this whole collection of society and culture, he coordinates to cause people to be blinded and cause them to keep away from the Lord. So people are really under the hold of the evil one. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness, and actually could be translated in the power of the wicked one. The word lieth has the idea of prostrate, to lie with face downward in abject submission, to be completely subjugated, you see there. And so or lies there unconsciously asleep, helpless in its grasp. There's different angles of how you can do that. But haven't you talked to people and you're excited about the gospel and they just seem totally... Well, it's just at that point they're under the grip of the lie of Satan, depending upon other things, immersed in this temporal life, and not able to think spiritually. But that doesn't have to stay that way. That's the whole point of prayer. But you got to remember, folks, witnessing is the catalyst, but prayer is the power behind it so that it can be a catalyst. And that's why you really need to seek the Lord, that Satan will be defeated and that people will have the darkness removed, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, and that the light of the gospel and the just love of Christ, the goodness of God begins to flood into their heart. They begin to be awakened spiritually. And I'll tell you, when that happens, they'll get saved. So it's a spiritual battle. He quotes from Mark 3:27, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man." He's speaking definitely there of Satan. "And then he will spoil his house." No lost person will ever be saved unless the demonic influences have been overcome in that person's life. So we've got to understand our weapons. He gives the illustration about the fact that he was at the time I was, except he was a little bit older, but right in the middle of the Vietnam War era. But you take any battle era, men or women that are being trained in the military, if they know that there's a pretty high chance they're going to go to the front, they're going to learn everything they are taught. One of the biggest problems that we had during the non-conflict era of in the 70s and so forth, later 70s, was that our military, there wasn't anything we were engaging in. And so therefore, it was all theory. But I'm telling you, if you know in a month you're going to be on the front line, you're going to know you're, like you said, he could put his weapon, take it, disassemble it and assemble it in a moment. He knew what was involved with his weaponry. And so we have to understand the same thing, that our weaponry is prayer and how to pray. Now, folks, I really want this little study, and I got really burdened as it sort of surrounded our outreach here. This little study has got to go beyond theory. It's got to become part of your very DNA. God will answer my prayer. This is engaging in warfare. Heaven, as we talked about a few weeks ago, is moved. God's arm is free to work because that's how God has planned it. And if we will get a hold of this reality of the mighty weapon of prayer, it will change our priorities, and if we will believe God, not only will it cause us to pray more and pray more effectively, but it'll also, you'll start seeing things happen. So let's look at some of the powerful weapons that we have. First of all, the blood of Christ. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." You see, it's through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that Satan was defeated. His head was crushed, as Genesis 3:15 said it would be. And though he still is working in the unsaved realm, Christ is now the second Adam. He won the victory. He is now at the throne. And so Satan no longer has the kind of control that he used to have. And we have the right to resist him. This morning I was actually thinking about this when I was praying through the spiritual warfare section of my prayer time, and I was praying on the basis of the blood of Christ for myself, then I pray for my family, and then I pray for our church and our community and so forth. But it just hit me, the blood of the Lamb. And I said, "Satan, you have been overcome." He is on the right hand of the Father. He's over all principality, power, might, and dominion. I'm in him and he is in me. Therefore, the Bible says that if I submit myself to Christ, I can resist you and you must flee. And I ask God to make sure that happens. And by the way, it does happen. That's just protection for ourselves. But that's what we can pray for those that we are burdened for their salvation. And you've got to understand, in Christ, when you're right with God and praying according to the will of God, you've got more power than Satan has. And that's exciting. That's why we don't need to walk around with morbid fear as believers. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are on the victory side. It's an exciting thing. But we need to have a healthy respect for the one that still rules the unregenerate world. Look at all the nations. Look at all the stuff that's going on. Look at all the wickedness. Well, he's still got a lot of power, but he doesn't have to have power over us. Yes, ma'am.
I've had a hard time talking to people about the public school system and what they're telling the children in the public school system. And they think, oh, they're just teaching them math and English.
I wish they would. Absolutely they are. I mean, in fact, now, the one positive, if there's any positive through all that's been going on for months here, the one positive is that they're now, since this election got going and all, they're pretty now outspoken about how Marxist and humanist they are. Now we have, it's just laid out there. It's not hidden. And so the battle lines is scary because we're now at a real battle line, but at least I think we're awakened. And I think, I trust Christians are awakened. And of course, the public school system, for decades now, not all of them, of course, different districts have different situations, and there have been some wonderful teachers over the years, but now, with all of the federal and state control, the public school system now for decades has been feeding the whole line of what we're hearing right now, and that's tragic. I mean, that's going to be hard to undo. It's really going to be hard to do. Of course, isn't the Lord been good to have such a wave of Christian education? But even there, what really bothered me, and I mentioned this, some of you ladies heard me say this, is 60%+ of evangelicals believe in evolution and creation. Well, you know, you're destroying the whole purpose of having Christian education. If you're trying to mix humanism in with your Christianity, and that's why so many kids just bail. Because they don't have that firm belief. Anyway, you got me off on that there, John.
I'm sorry.
That's good. It's good.
You said about education. I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, and it's something I'll be straight out. You know, it's very interesting. You'll find people, even with their kids, though, in public education now today, are a lot more willing to hear you say that. They realize there is a battle. Now, going back to what we're talking about, Jesus won the victory. The blood of Christ was effective. So therefore, now get a hold of this. This is stirring. People are held by Satan only because of the default of believers. In other words, Christ has won the victory, and that blindness and that darkness can be removed, and the reality of God can be seen, but it has to come from believers who are willing to join with God in their burden for souls. And I've said this so often here in the pulpit, but folks, don't blame the world for all the mess today. They're just acting like the world. Always, 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 the finger needs to come right back at us. Because if we would be what we ought to be, we have the power to overcome. And that's why I'm telling you, you've heard me talk about this, especially if you're part of our church here. I've been hammering on prayer for a number of years now. But that's why we've lost the battle. And we can win the battle. It's only by default, folks. It's like not putting the army out there. We've got the weapons. We've got everything that we need. So remember, somebody you love is lost. You've got the weapons to see them saved. And you can believe that they're going to get saved instead of hoping, well, maybe something will happen. Now, number two, another very powerful weapon is the name of Jesus. Saul goes back to what Christ did, but this is more personal. When the Lord's disciples returned from their witnessing mission, they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. You know, we love the name of Jesus. And that's why it ought to really bother you when you hear people swear using Jesus' name. And let me just say this. Let me get off on another rabbit trail. I'm good on those here today. Maybe you have a tendency to some minced O's. Not like it's a terrible thing, but geez, is really something you want to ask the Lord to get out of your, or gee whiz. That's simply a substitute for Jesus. And Jesus' name is so powerful and so important that, and even gosh, now I know it's not a big deal, but I just think, boy, I tell you, I don't want to take the name of the Lord my God in vain. My parents were really strong on that. And something just to think about. In fact, my wife and I have both told each other, please, you know, if something slips into my vocabulary that I don't even realize or I'm letting slip in, I need to get it out. And so stay on me till I get it out of my vocabulary. Okay, that was free today, all right? Okay, the name of Jesus, so what a name. Well, why is it so powerful? He created the heavens and the earth. Look at Colossians 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So when we look at the universe and we study that little bit about evolution versus creation, remember the active person of the Trinity was Jesus Christ. Isn't that something that Jesus would walk on this earth in a body? Being the creator of all things. Do you realize that when they were mocking him, all it would have taken just a flash of his will and this universe would have been burned up. That's how powerful he is. That's why it is absolutely amazing that he hung on that cross and stayed there. I think it took the power of God to hold back the angelic world from coming. I think everything in them said, this is as unjust as it gets. And that's because of us. That's why salvation, never get over it. It's an amazing thing. The name of Jesus is powerful because of creation and, I've already alluded to it, the crucifixion. He won the victory that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, Hebrews 2:14 and 15. So he's the creator. And he won the victory on the cross. And then he is the coronation who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Right now, if you were to look into the throne room of heaven, you would see the brightness of the Father and of the Spirit, but you'd actually see Christ as you see him described in Revelation chapter 1 in glorious humanity. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will receive the title deed to the entire universe there in the book of Revelation and the consummation of all things. And so he is the victor. So that's very, when you start thinking about this, the blood of Christ and the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, the name of Jesus, when said in the power of the Spirit, it's not a little formula. And by the way, be very careful when you pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Think about it. Because of Jesus. It's powerful. The Father listens. You know, we get our little ways we do things. You know, we get into habits and be real careful about being trite. In Jesus' name, amen. No, in Jesus' authoritative, almighty name, so be it. Amen. And so it will be. Number three, the Word of God. You see, what is the major tool of Satan? It's deception. It is deception. People either don't know the truth or have the truth mixed up, warped. And so the Word of God goes directly at the deception, at the lie. And the sword of the Spirit's part of the armor of God, Ephesians 6:17. And so when Satan at the cross was stripped of his power and authority at Calvary, and all he can do now is lie. And so when we get the Word of God out with power, it changes things. I still get amazed as a pastor. I will preach the Word, and you can sense God comes upon the Word, and it's just amazing. People that were thinking totally wrong, within a few moments, are thinking completely right. How does that happen? Satan got dispelled, and the truth came in. And once you see the truth and you see the goodness of God, I like to talk about the goodness of God. I mean, Satan is so terrible in his constant warping of our perspective of who God is and his character. You can trust him. So when you're praying, you need to pray that the Word of God will be strong to them and that the gospel will be clear, and you can use the Word of God in your prayer. All right, then number four, praise is another powerful weapon we can use. And we need to believe that God will do it. I love the story. I often think of that. In fact, that's part of my prayer time when I look at the promises of God, is the fact that God promised that he would go before and be with them. And so what was King Jehoshaphat's great great strategy, according to the Lord? He brought out the choir and orchestra, and they sang praises to God. And what happened? Well, God destroyed the enemy before they ever had to do anything. They just had to clean up. And so we read in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise and set ambushments, and the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And so it's important, you know, our attitude in prayer, folks, is really important. Oh, Lord, is it possible you might think about doing something? It's almost like, Lord, I'm praying, but I don't really think you're going to do anything, or I don't think you can really do that. Now, you'd never say that. But you ever had that kind of feeling? Like, what good is this? You know, I prayed for this person over and over, and seems like it's getting worse. And we doubt God, and we have a bad attitude sometimes toward the Lord. But if we will get on the ground of faith based upon the blood of Christ, the name of Jesus, what the Word of God promises, you can praise the Lord and say, Lord, you are going to go before us. You have promised to answer my prayer. You are going to remove Satan's darkness, the blindness. You're going to take the scales off. I believe that. You're going to overcome Satan's influence through the world in this person. I am calling upon you to do it, and I praise you because I believe you're doing it right now. Oftentimes, if you've been with me in a corporate prayer meeting, I want to end the prayer meeting praising God that he heard us. It's not if he heard us, he heard us when we're praying in the name of Jesus and we're praying according to the will of God. Honestly, you ought to leave the prayer meeting, even though it may take a while to see something, you need to leave it with victory. God is going to work. I remember 2 months ago, I left that one prayer meeting and I said, God, you're going to work in what you're going to lead us to do. I just knew it. I was already on the victory side, not because of me, but because God had given that kind of encouragement. So praise is very important. And There's a story here about John Hyde, and of course, he is a great example of interceding. And he's been the last part of the first part of the last century. He led in a great revival in South India that they still feel the effects of today. And but where he really learned to pray was praying for the lost. He started off praying for one a day, and God gave it to him, then two a day, then four a day. Now, he got to four a day, and that was a challenge. That's where Praying Hyde became the Praying Hyde that we know. But he gives the testimony that when he would be battling this, because, you know, some days you don't see people that much. You know, some days are just difficult. And he found himself, as he got desperate about prayer, he knew he was getting into victory ground when he started to praise the Lord that God was going to do it. And there's wonderful stories about how in the midnight hour, God gave him the final soul. You know, it's just the sweetest thing. And but it always, he said, inevitably had to get to the praise ground. That's faith ground. You realize praise ground is faith ground. And so that's a wonderful study to look at that life and see what God did for him. Another one is fasting. You see, fasting causes us to be focused on prayer, and we put aside other things and we concentrate on that, and we go from the realm of the temporal into the realm of the spiritual more. Every time I go through a time of several days of fasting and prayer with folks for things such as the conference that we have, I always finish that saying, why don't I just live there? Because there's nothing like that time. You come to convincement. Like he mentions here, it's a tenfold time of prayer. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed, to let he oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? And then, of course, we know that tremendous miracle that the Lord did of relieving the boy of that awful demon. And this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So all these principles that we're talking about, sometimes, you know, you're in a real battle. And sometimes it's worth taking extra time. Laying it aside, fasting and praying, giving up something. You're not going to earn anything. By the way, remember, being hungry is not going to help you gain the favor of God. That's human thinking. No, it's just you're so burdened, you give up and you take the concentrated time and you give yourself to prayer so that God can work. And then one other weapon is love, number 6. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And this is something I always get convicted about, and that is the matter of, if I really am burdened about something, then how is that changing my life to pray that through? You know, if we really love someone or a burden for them, maybe we don't know them that well, but God's put them on our heart. God can give us the love. But God gives us that kind of love, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It never fails. And so we need to realize that God will give us a heart of love. So those are some wonderful points to look at there. Next week, I'm going to look at the key thing we're praying about, and that is unbelief. That is the stronghold of Satan in a lost person's life, in a carnal Christian's life, and it is the thing that holds you back and holds me back in our life. Unbelief is the big, big sin. And so we need to target that, but I knew I couldn't get that one in here today. So we will talk about that next time. But folks, isn't that exciting? We can have confidence that we can make a difference from our prayer closet in the eternal life of people. And we got to get our faith strengthened in this area.